Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast. It's a two-man team today. I'm joined by the homie South Shore Ave family member Roger Callender to discuss the Super Bowl preview. How you doing today, Roger?
Not too bad, not too bad. It's almost Christmas. Almost Christmas for us football addicts.
It really is. Everything is the Super Bowl. You know when like in like hip hop they'll say this album is the Illmatic of this person's like catalog or whatever, or like the NBA will be like the All-Star Weekend is the Super Bowl of their version of the Super Bowl. Well, this is the Super Bowl. The only thing bigger than the Super Bowl at this stage now is probably the World Cup.
Exactly. Right. 100%.
Which you'll be getting in a few months. That the city itself. I mean, be prepared, Roger. You're not going to be able to go downtown in July.
Listen, I'm perfectly happy sticking where I am. Straight up.
Yeah, because the traffic alone is going to be bananas. I don't even know where they're going to be having these games, but it's going to be... I love it, but I already hate the traffic. It's going to be crazy. Like, Toronto's going to be insane for that.
Oh, the city's going to get taken over. Oh, it's going to be crazy.
100%. And it's great. It should. It should be an amazing time. But don't go downtown in July. If anything, just come back around maybe like right before Carabana. You should be good by you should be good by then.
For sure.
Yeah, man. So we'll do a quick preview of the Super Bowl. But before we do that, man, I guess they're trying to give it to the Patriots this week, huh? So Robert Kraft also doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. And
no.
I mean, at this stage, I mean, look, I think they're being punished for the spy gate, the flake gate, whatever gate that happened the last few years in the past. Because really, there's no other reason why like Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft don't get in on the first ballot. At this stage, I don't know what else you have to do to accomplish to basically get in. I mean, both these guys are pretty much the same. They're old. They're accomplished. They both at some point dated young girls, or young women. I should say not young girls. Let me not say that. Young women.
Young women. Yes.
Yeah, but at this stage of the game, I mean. I don't know what else do they expect. I mean, outside of giving the Patriots maybe some bulletin board material, because now this directly affects the team as it stands right now. Because I mean, Belichick's in North Carolina, so it directly affects the team right now in terms of the disrespect. I mean, this is your squad, man. What are your thoughts? I mean, listen, if Belichick didn't get in, this is a little less surprising because Belichick didn't get in. So if he didn't get in. Robert Kraft not to get it. I mean, you know, I'm not as surprised, but what do you think?
I think it's crazy, man. Like, I fall back on the idea that the Hall of Fame should not be a popularity con. It should be based on merits.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any owners out there that are more accomplished than Bob Kraft.
No.
Has he had his drama? 100%. You know? He's also had the most winning team within the past 20 years. And the same thing goes for Bill Belichick. I just see them as being a whole bunch of petty people that basically just they're going with their feelings over the facts. That's all. And there's a whole lot of jealousy out there. Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't understand it. And I think if this is how these NFL Hall of Fames are going to pick their players, I think they need to restructure it and rethink how exactly they're choosing their players. Because if they're looking for the best of the best, then they are definitely not hitting the mark.
I mean, like I said, man, it doesn't make any real sense, to be quite honest. Because, I mean, like I said, we were talking about this last week, the NFL... The rules for, I mean, nobody really knows what the rules for the Hall of Fame are at this stage, but it's really stringent, you know what I mean, at this stage. But at the same time, if Belichick doesn't get in on the first ballot, I'm not as shocked to see Kraft not get in. in the last 20, when did he own the team? From 2000, right? I think the year 2000 is when he bought the team, or in late 90s or something like that.
I think it was 2000.
Yeah.
No, it could have been 1999. Yeah. Okay. Because Brady took over, I think it was 2001.
Yeah. So it was a couple of years before, right?
Yeah. And they traded for Belichick in 2000, I think it was.
Okay. So maybe I'm confusing with that. So yeah, I think either it might even be the mid to late 90s, whenever it was. So either it's like a 25 to 30 year run within that window, to get six titles at that stage. I mean, they hold the most trophies in all of football. I don't think they're tied with it. I think they're number one, right? And they could be getting a seventh on Sunday.
If they get the seventh, then they'll have the most. But I think right now they're tied with the Steelers, I think, with six.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, but they've won the 10 Super Bowls.
You're right. The Steelers, because they won four in the 70s and they got two with Roethlisberger. You're right.
Exactly, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, so they'll be – but either way, I mean, but even to say that with the Steelers, look at the years I just mentioned. One was in the 70s, one was in the mid and late 2000s. Right. Yeah. So that gap is like the family still owns the team, but that's a 40 year gap. You know what I mean? At least 40 to 50 years gap or whatever it was. Right. Whereas this is like 20 years, 25 years, really. Right. And you've been to how many Super Bowls now? Like 8, 9, 10, something like that.
I think this is going to be the 11th.
Yeah. So
it's crazy. 11 Super Bowls.
It's wild, man. And again, you got to give props to what they did post Brady and post Belichick. I mean, to get here this fast after Belichick, especially, like it's kind of remarkable, man. Like, yeah, even you said it last week. You weren't expecting the Pats to be here this fast.
Well, hell no. I don't think anybody expected.
No, they lost three games all year. Like, who the hell expected that? No, listen. We thought at least for the next, because the Bills have been owning the division for the last 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, since Allen got good. So the last 5 years at least, right?
Yes, yeah.
So we were at least thinking the Bills had at least maybe another year or two before this team might start like nipping at his heels. But they've already surpassed them already in the division again.
That's crazy. Honestly, if you would have told me that Drake May would get to the Super Bowl before Josh Allen,
right?
I would have said that you were crazy. the odds of the Patriots winning or going to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year was 1 to 60.
Yeah,
they had a 1 in 60 chance. It's crazy.
But Roger, what you said there, I'm gonna piggyback on what you said. You're saying if somebody would have told you if Drake May would have got there before Josh Allen, you're talking like that at the beginning of the season. If we said that at the beginning of the playoffs, we wouldn't have believed you. Said that 3 weeks ago, we wouldn't have believed you.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, we would have been like, nah, everybody was talking about this is the Bills' best chance. This is Josh Allen's best chance. Just 3 weeks ago, we wouldn't have believed that statement. But we're here now, right?
Yeah. The Pats won four games last year.
Yeah.
Four. Like four games in the whole year. They picked third in the draft last year.
Yep.
Nobody's ever come back from a losing season like that and made it to the Super Bowl.
Not since
team's ever done.
Probably not since the Rams. Probably since the greatest show on turf, right?
And that was about 21 years ago. Years,
more than that, yeah. It's like 99 or something like that. Because I mean, listen, the Rams were in my division. They were terrible. We were the we used to step on the Rams back in the 90s. They were just our dirty rag, basically, for that whole decade until 99, until they just basically, you turn around, you're like, what the hell? I mean, I can't even lie. I ain't going to lie. I love that team. That greatest show on turf team of Warner, them, that they were the shit. I ain't going to lie to you.
Crazy.
Even I was like, yo, they beat my team, but goddamn, this is entertaining. I can't even front. Like,
good flipping team, man. They got that name for a reason.
Yeah, no, that team was amazing. But to the point though, like you don't see that kind of turnaround. That's probably the last time you've seen that kind of turnaround. That's 27 years ago. You know what I mean? So that's not regular.
No, not at all. It almost never happens. I mean, even this year, they've gotten two All-Pro nods, and they're all both second team All-Pros.
Right.
And that's Drake May, and that's their quarterback, Gonzalez. That's it.
Yeah.
Aside from that, they're a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephon Diggs is probably the best-known player on that whole offense. But, I mean, it's not a prime Stephon Diggs.
No.
He's coming off a ACL injury. And then all the wide receivers, just last year we were talking about how they have the worst wide receiver group in the league. Yeah, so I mean, it's incredible what they did.
Yeah,
incredible.
And again, like, you know, it's a testament to the front office, but like in terms of the stewardship of everything, it's Robert Kraft, man. Like, you gotta, this is still under his watch. He's 84 years old. Again, I'm not really, like, at the end of the day, I'm not sweating this as big news. It's great for the NFL because it is another talking point for you to discuss outside of the game itself. So for them, they're winning. But at the same time, it's not a big deal for me because you know them guys are going to get in. Like, they'll get in by next year, whatever it is. But it's just, as I mentioned before, it's like whoever's getting in this year, the fact that the Kraft and Belichick didn't get in is going to overshadow like the other guys who are getting in, you know what I mean? Depending on the kind of stars that are getting, I'm not sure. I don't think they announced it just yet, but whoever's getting in, this is going to be attached to them, unfortunately. You know what I mean? That's the only problem. But grand scheme of things, just in terms of the NFL, this is amazing. Like this news is great because it's like it's just creating the talking point. It's creating more controversy. It's creating news. You're still in the main headlines leading up to the Super Bowl, right? So this is all great.
It's creating a controversy.
Yeah, no, it's like, but like I said again, they're gonna get in eventually. Like I'm really not worried about those guys. They're gonna get in. Like I think so too.
Yeah. Like I don't think that's even a question.
I think by next year. Like I think it's honestly they're just gonna wait a year. Like think it'll probably be a bigger controversy if they don't get in next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if they don't get in next year, now it's like it's a problem. Look, apparently they're already changing rules already. Just to make this happen, right?
As they should.
Yeah. Already changing rules, and some people got like voted out of their position to be able to vote for the Hall of Fame, and to the point where Terrell Owens is already making comments like, "Why don't you guys do this for me?"
Because nobody loves you, T.O. Sorry to bring it to you, bro.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, even though he's kind of has a point, but still. You know what I mean? It's just, but this is what makes the NFL, you know, to their point. This is what makes the Pro Football Hall of Fame really tough. It's tough to get in there, man. It's really tough.
Absolutely, it's meant to be the best of the best.
Yeah,
it's definitely not for people who don't have the merits. You know, you have to be the top of your game basically to get there.
Yeah.
So I mean. It's a shame, but it is what it is.
No, 100%. Before we break down the Super Bowl matchups or our X factors going into the game, we do have our annual selection for the awards, for the NFL awards, and I think they're going to be announced like Thursday or Friday. And I know right now as we're recording, the Pro Bowl is on, which, I mean, as you can see, we're really interested in it right now because we're really recording at the same time. My TV's not on. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not watching flag football and touch tag freeze. I ain't looking into any of that.
No. Sometimes I'll watch the skills competition, but that's the extent of it.
Yeah, I can't even do that. I it's just a total disservice to the All-Star weekend. Even though, again, I kind of get it because you're playing football, your body's tired, you know what I mean? But I just have a game. Just go back and put the pads on. Like nobody's getting hurt in that game. Who gets hurt in a Pro Bowl anyway?
Nobody ever hits anybody.
No.
Come on.
No, nobody's getting cut at the knees. Nobody's getting blindsided or depleted. Like it's okay. You can still have the game. We'll be fine. Like geez, at this stage, man, it's terrible.
So true.
But
so
yeah, true. We can start with the. Let's start with a defensive rookie of the year right now because I can't lie. I don't really have a pick for that one because I can't really remember too much of the rookie candidates. But for the consensus says is Carson Is it Schlesinger? Yeah. And considering his stats, what did he have? 156 tackles, 2.5 sacks, a pick. I mean, that's like the, I think this, they said it's the most tackles a rookie's had since, I think since 2018, since Shaquille Leonard had it in 2018. And I mean, honestly, the Browns had, and what, this wasn't just all Myles Garrett. The Browns had one of the best defenses in the NFL. As shitty as their team was, it had nothing to do with the defense. The defense was actually amazing when you watched their games. Yeah, so and he's part of the reason why, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I'll give the nod to him because, yeah, like even on fantasy, you took the Browns. If you had the Browns defense, you took them. You know what I mean? And like I said, that's not all based on Myles Garrett, even though he was carrying the biggest pail in the yard kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I do like Schlesinger, but then I also like Nick Amorar. How do you pronounce his name? Emorwari from Seattle. He's a safety from Seattle.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
This guy's a beast.
He's a beast too. You're right.
Oh my god. He's so good. He's one of the reasons why they have one of the top defenses in the league.
In the league. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a beast this year. Yeah. As soon as it from training camp, he was amazing.
Yeah. So you'd go with him.
I'd probably still give it to Schlesinger.
Okay.
But I do like Emorwari as well.
Listen, man, it's a bit of renaissance for defenses this year.
Yes.
Because, like, some of the defenses that's been in the league this year, it's elite. Because, I mean, we're talking about in the playoffs. There was about 5 or 6 teams in the playoffs where you're like, oh, my God. Like, you don't want to play those guys defensively, at least. It's a bloodbath. Like, even the Patriots, that game of the Texans, I think that was one of the best games of the playoffs. And defensively, both those teams were just, they were lights out. It's just
solid.
Yeah, they're both of them are lights out. But like I said, again, the Bears won like 5 games, but they're like nobody wants to play their defense.
Yeah. This year it's all defense, all about defense, not about offense. If you look at all the teams in the playoffs, the one thing they have in common, solid defense.
Yep.
Defenses. You know, Chargers had a solid defense. They were ranked fifth. Texans was ranked number one.
Yep.
The Broncos was ranked number two.
Yep.
And then you look on the other side, the NFC side, Seattle was ranked, I think they were like third or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Rams had a decent defense.
Yeah, the defense is good.
Like they were still top 10.
Yeah.
It's all about the defense this year, man.
And even my Niners, we lost too many guys defensively, but there was a point in time where I was kind of like, wow, I don't know how they're keeping this up, because we lost our 2 or 3 biggest stars defensively, and we're still making plays. I'm like, damn.
Absolutely. And Purdy wasn't even there.
No, exactly.
Purdy didn't play for like the first, what, 6 games?
He missed like half the season, basically.
Yeah, it was a lot. Mac Jones filled in.
Yeah. You missed like half the season, but defensively, like Salah, I mean, until he took the job with Tennessee, like, to be honest, they were keeping us in games. I ain't going to lie. Like, that defense was keeping us in some games where I was like, damn, like, yo, we're doing a good job here.
You know, and the defense carried all these teams.
Yeah, a lot of them. You're right.
Even with the Patriots, their defense, they started off so strong. But then due to a few injuries, they dropped off. But now they're at full strength. So, I mean, yeah, defense. It's all about defense this year.
You know, you're absolutely right. Because even Jacksonville's defense wasn't bad too. I'm not talking stat-wise, just watching them play. Like, their defense was pretty solid too.
Yeah, you know, they were good.
Yeah, there was a lot of good teams. Like, there was no real elite team outside of maybe the Rams. There wasn't really like an elite offensive team where they were just completely lights out this year. At least not to me. Not from what I saw.
Same here. I agree completely. It was all about defense. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots were good offense wise. They finished with the second highest scoring offense in the league. I don't know if you know that.
No.
But aside from that, there was no real powerhouses.
No. That definitely wasn't. Offensive rookie of the year. Who you got?
Offensive rookie of the year. I have Tutuora McMillan.
Yep.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. I liked him from college last year.
Okay.
And I knew he'd be a beast this year. 70 catches, over 1,000 yards. 7 touchdowns. He was really good.
Yeah, and I mean, well, that's my pick too, honestly. But I mean, he helped them bring the Panthers back to respectability. Like, he gave Bryce Young. I think the reason why Bryce Young developed the way that he did. I mean, he got more reps in his second year. But having a number one wideout, it speeds up your process, man. Especially when you're a struggling young quarterback, it speeds up the process when you have a wideout that can do the things that McMillan could do, right?
That's true.
Yeah, so he was tough. Like, I can never pronounce the rookies, wide receiver from Tampa Bay, Amika. I think it's
Amika. Yeah, Amika. Oh, Amika.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I'm becoming old here. This is where age is creeping in, Raj.
Amika Egbuka.
Egbuka. Egbuka. There you go.
Yes.
Egbuka. That's right.
Egbuka. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a beast too.
Yeah, he's a beast too, but he kind of hit the rookie wall a little bit, you know, towards the end of the year.
Which was surprising, because he started off hot.
Hot, he really did.
Like, he was like Justin Jefferson hot when he first started off. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure this guy was going to crack like 2,000 yards the way he was catching the ball.
Yeah.
And then he got injured, if I remember correct. And when he came back, he just wasn't the same.
Yeah. I mean, with all that said, I mean, they're going to be like, for that draft class, they're going to be neck and neck when it comes to the top wide receivers in that class. Honorable mention would have been Scattaboo if he didn't completely disintegrate his leg on that injury in Philly. But outside of that, he probably would have come close to winning this too, because he was on the warpath himself.
He was. He had a good three, four games where he was dominant.
Yeah.
And that's after, I guess, what's his name? Tracy got injured.
I think
that's the name of their backup. Yeah. Or he was Tyrone the starter Tracy. From last year.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy. Right.
Tyrone Tracy. Yeah. But he looked good. But his injury looked horrible.
I never watched it. I never watched the injury.
Oh, my God, Calvin. This guy would literally. He reminds me of. What's that guy's name from Tampa Bay, the running back? He was a All-Sot. Big guy. Yeah. Yes. He was definitely All-Sot. Yeah. He would look for contact. He's running in the end zone. He actually aims to hit people while he's already in the end zone.
Yeah. He honestly, he's like if Mike All-Sot and John Riggins had a baby.
John Riggins, 100%.
That's basically who he was.
He's crazy.
So, I know he broke bones, so he's probably going to be back. It's a devastating injury, but from what they're saying, he's probably going to be back. And honestly, he looks like he has about 2 screws loose, so he probably will come back regardless of how his foot is mangled.
I just hope he changes his style a little bit.
He's not changing his style, Roger. Come on now. Stop it.
Calvin, I give him another 2 years in the league if that's the kid. And one more catastrophic injury.
It's happening. I just hope he saved his money because it's happening. He's not changing his style for shit.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Coach of the year. Who do you got for your coach of the year?
I have to go with Vrabel. Mm. And I know a lot of people are going to say Mike McDonald, and I get why, 100%. But, I mean, Vrabel, this guy literally took a team that was 4-13 last year and took them to the Super Bowl. He basically redid that whole team with draft picks and free agents. Did you know that all of the draft picks from the 2024 draft for the Patriots are gone except for one person?
Really?
Yeah. Like, he literally gutted that whole team. No other coach has done that. And Mike McDonald, yes, he did a fantastic job with the Seahawks.
He really did.
But the Seahawks were a good team.
Yeah.
They were a good team. They weren't a Super Bowl team, but they were a good team. Vrabel basically took
again last year.
Geno? No,
it was Geno Smith.
Geno? Yeah, it was Geno. Yeah. It was Geno.
They struggled a little bit last year, but the year before they were good.
But it was all Geno.
Yeah.
Geno was throwing picks. That's why they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And that's why they got Darnold.
They got Darnold.
Yeah. their defense was good, but Geno was throwing the ball. He kept throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only big difference this year is Darnold, and they did bring in a few free agents, really good free agents, and a really good draft. But, I mean, aside from that, how can you not give it to Vrabel? Like, how can you? Nobody would have said that the Patriots were going to go to the Super Bowl. A lot of people didn't even think they were going to have a winning season. They were saying that they were going to be, if they were going to win 6 or 7 games, yeah, they would consider that a win. Everybody said that.
I think it comes down to 3. I guess we're both going to be showing our biases here, because I picked Shanahan only for the reason, but only for the reason that with all the injuries that we sustained this year, I think I've said this on the pod before, the fact that the final week of the season we were competing for the number one seed. Listen, I was as shocked as anybody else with that. I as much as I support the team, once all the injuries kept happening, we never got back Ayuk. We lost Warner. We lost Bosa. We lost a shitload of guys. We had Purdy miss half the season. Kittle missed his usual amount of games. Purcell missed a bunch of games. Like, honestly, Roger, I did not expect our team to get past 9 wins at that point. I was just like, listen, if we can get to like 500, I'll be cool. Maybe we can flirt with a 7th spot, maybe. But I'm like, that's the most I was hoping for. Like, Shanahan, that was one of his best coaching jobs. That might be his best coaching job that he had. And I might be showing my bias here, but I'm only saying it because of the injuries that was sustained throughout the season. It was quite amazing. I mean, everything was put on McCaffrey, and McCaffrey shockingly held steady. He was healthy the whole season.
That shocked me in itself.
That shocked the hell out of Roger. I mean, again, the guy had he had 413 touches. I thought for sure he was going to explode by like week 11. He was just going to spontaneously combust. I was not expecting under any circumstances for this guy to put up the numbers that he did, for the team to have the kind of success that they had. And again, I think honestly, they might have, you know, again, like those 3 teams in the NFC West, it was either one of them could represent for the NFC. And the fact that I could even say that about the Niners this year is amazing. Now, again, if anybody goes with Vrabel like you did, I'm not mad at it. If anybody goes with McDonald, I'm not mad with it either. I think to me it's kind of like a toss up between those 3. But I would go with Shanahan just because I thought it was his best coaching job. Because we really shouldn't have been in it. We won 12 games with all the injuries. There's no way we should have got that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you. Like, this was definitely one of his best coaching jobs. For sure.
Yeah, 100%. This had to be. I was really impressed with him this year with that. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. Like you know, be damned all the rivalries in the division. Like, there's some good coaches in that division this year, man. It's
probably the best division in the league.
Yeah, it for sure right now it is. Yeah. That and the AFC West too. The AFC West is pretty tough too.
AFC West is cool.
But NFC West is where it's at right now. But no, I can't argue Vrabel either. Like, to be honest with you, he did an amazing job. I mean, I like Vrabel. I didn't see this in Vrabel. I didn't. I just thought Vrabel was a decent. I thought Vrabel was a good coach, but I didn't see this turnaround happening this fast. And it's not like super flashy. It's not gimmicky. Yeah. It's like old school football. You know what I mean?
It is. He reminds me of an old school Belichick.
Yeah.
Except a little bit more friendly.
Right.
You know, he keeps them focused. He's got their buy-in. Everybody's buying in. Everybody's playing at their full potential. And, yeah, the results are there. You know, he literally put a patchwork team together. And look how far they got them. And I think a lot of the reason why they won was because of his coaching.
Yeah.
And his decisions. You know, I know that's the reason they won in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the best team. He doesn't have the fastest team. He doesn't have the strongest team. But they don't make mistakes. And they are very well coached. You know, he's not going to be outcoached, and he's not going to be outsmarted.
No, facts. Facts.
Yep.
Hold on a second. Here. Defensive player of the year. It's Myles Garrett, right? Just admit it.
How can you go with anybody but Myles Garrett? Come on. The guy had, what, 24 sacks?
23 sacks?
25, I think, or 25?
23 sacks.
23 sacks, yeah. That's a given.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He had 6.5 more sacks than the second place finisher.
Insane.
Like, that is actually insane. My favorite highlight with him of the year is, I forgot who they were playing. It might have been Green Bay. But he got past the linemen so fast, all the linemen could do was scream, "Run!"
I remember that.
Run! Yo, that is I've never seen that before. Like, that is hilarious.
You're some desperation. Yeah, that's what it is.
That is hilarious. Listen, Garrett has been a specimen, and the kind of talent that he is, you're not really surprised that he kind of had this kind of elite season in him. You know what I mean? Like, you look at his stature, you look at his stats throughout the years. Really, he's been like the only thing holding up the Browns consistently for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the Browns have been a joke, but he's not been the joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. he's actually been above the fray in all of this. So
which surprises me that he's actually staying with the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Allegedly, he did request for a trade again, but I think that might have just been like AI or rumor or something like that. But I mean,
I think he did, and they paid him.
Oh, no.
They paid him what he wanted.
I'm talking about like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Or last week. I'm talking last week.
I was talking about the beginning of the season.
No, I'm talking last week.
So this guy just he requests trades at the beginning of the season and towards the end?
Yeah, basically. It's just like annual tradition. You get the trophy, nice. you get the accolades, and then you request out. And then they pay you again, and then you start it over again the next year. There's more money in his pocket. I don't know what the state taxes are in Ohio, mm-hmm. but it's he's probably circumventing some of those trying to keep that money, man. Because listen, man, I thought like by all accounts he should definitely want out of the Browns. But with that said, Roger, I mean, there's a chance. Look, there's a chance that the Browns could actually be good next year if they stay out of their way. You know what I'm saying? Because defensively, they don't have to change a thing defensively, right? Like, if Monken can just work his way with Shedeur Sanders or Deshaun Watson, whoever's going to be the quarterback next year, if they can just get a couple of weapons and just stabilize things offensively, they're going to be a good team. Like defensively, they're there. They're a joke offensively. But if they can just make it respectable offensively, they're going to be in almost every game they play.
They should be good by now.
But they're the Browns, so...
But they're the Browns.
Yeah.
For the past 10 years, they have literally picked within the top five every single year.
Yeah.
It's almost statistically impossible for them not to hit on at least three or four players.
Yeah. With all the picks and stuff, free agent pickups and stuff.
They had three picks. They had like three first-round picks last year. Every year, they have like... Two picks, three picks. It's crazy.
Well, their fifth round pick worked out. He's a Pro Bowler now.
Fifth round pick?
I said their fifth round pick worked out.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't know, man. I'm not a statistician, but I can't figure how Shedeur Sanders made the Pro Bowl. I just don't get it.
Yeah. 7 TDs and 10 picks does not equal a Pro Bowler. It's not what a Pro Bowler makes.
Calvin, I'm confused. You're telling me there's nobody else in the AFC that they could have picked? Was everybody just on vacation?
I don't get it. Everybody declined, but like again, you're not even playing flag football at this point. Who cares? They just named the people. You don't even have to replace a quarterback. Who was he quarterbacking? It's they're playing freeze tag. During these skills competitions. What does it matter? They're playing, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter at this point.
Listen, man. If you start bringing every man, Jack, and Harry into the All-Star game, what's the point of having an All-Star game?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the point?
And I like Sanders. I'm rooting for him to win, but come on.
Like, I do.
This is like I think they just did it for the ratings to get more eyes on the Pro Bowl game. But again, you're not even like because they got rid of the flag football, right?
I don't even know.
No. But even for flag football, again, who cares? Put a wide receiver in as a quarterback for flags. Flag football. Who cares?
Not like anybody watches it anyways.
No, who cares? So that's something like, listen, do they really need to replace the quarterback in the Pro Bowl? You're not even playing the games.
These guys just like it because they get a free trip to Hawaii.
They're not in Hawaii, are they?
I don't know. Where are they?
I'm going to look it up right now. That's how little I paid attention to the Pro Bowl.
I thought it's always in Hawaii.
No. They got rid of that long time ago.
Oh, my bad. I haven't watched it in a long time.
But that's what I'm saying. I can't even blame you for that.
It's in San Fran.
Oh, it's in San Francisco. Okay.
Yeah. Like, same place as the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's in San Fran too, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it at a high school? Is high school field? Is it at a convention center?
Muscone Center? I don't even know where that
Muscone
is.
Muscone City. There you go. It's not. There's no way. There's no way. It's in the Levi's Stadium. There's no way. There's no way in hell. But yeah, I'm watching it right now. Actually, yeah, you're right. It is at some. Yeah, it's at some convention center. It's probably where they have like the X Games and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. What's the point, man?
No, just kill the game. Like at this stage, just kill it.
Yeah, just kill it. I mean, the skills competition is interesting.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's a waste of time. Nobody plays. Nobody gets hit. Like it's, yeah. What's the point?
It's sad because I feel like all sports, all the major professional sports in the U.S. or North America, I think you can actually kill all of them at this stage now. They're all terrible. I don't know. It's like a generational thing. Like the younger generation has stopped wanting to play in these All-Star games. From hockey, basketball. I mean, basketball is the worst. Like the NBA All-Star weekend was the Super Bowl for the NBA. That's the flagship weekend, and it's gone to shit now. Nobody. Like there used to be a point, Roger, where I grew up watching the All-Star game. That was like an important part of TV viewing when it came to basketball for me, right? The All-Star weekend. And it just gradually got worse in the last 10 to 15 years. And now it's to a point where it's like the last couple of years, I purposely haven't been home when it's on. But even when I get home, I don't even put it on the channel just to even see what the score is. I don't even bother. I just don't care about it at all. And I feel like that's all the sports.
Listen, man, I used to love watching the slam dunk contest and their 3-point contest. Mm-hmm. And the All-Star game used to actually be a game.
Yeah.
They used to actually compete, and they actually played defense. Once they started getting the score up to, like, 200 points per team, I was like, okay, I'm not watching anymore.
And that's the only thing that's actually worth watching out of the All-Star weekend is the 3-point shootout. But, like, that's the only thing, like, you actually watch it for now. Where that used to be a thing where, like, you kind of watched it, you know, like the main event was a dunk contest, but now you're just like that. The 3-point shootout is now like the flagship event for that weekend, which is, it's like bizarro world. It's a little crazy, even though there's great shooters and it is an enjoyable event to watch. I'm not going to take away from it, but case in point, I mean, I don't know all the dunkers in the dunk contest for this year, but three of the contestants are all big men. I'm like, why is it all big men in the dunk contest? They don't make good dunkers out of that unless you're like Sean Kemp or one of these guys.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, already you've already put a red flag on that weekend already. Just with that decision alone. Like I said, I think with all the games, they got to do some sort of like, they got to like kill them all for like a year and just come back and have like a committee or something and just figure out a way for all these players in all the sports to take it seriously.
I agree. If anything, maybe bring in the young guys. You know, they used to have with football, they used to have like a rookie all-star game. Not an all-star game, but it's like a rookie game.
Oh, they still
that was actually interesting.
Yeah, they still have that for basketball, but
do they?
Yeah, they still have it. But again, that's pretty unwatchable too. Or not pretty. Let me phrase that. It is unwatchable. It's absolutely unwatchable at this stage. It's sad to say, but it's all crap at this point. It's all crap. Offensive player of the year, who you got?
Offensive player of the year. I would say it would be, I say Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's balled out this year. And I didn't think he was that good, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I always thought Debo was the better wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And he completely shocked me this year. This guy had 1,793 yards, 129-yard catches. He was averaging like 70 yards a game. This guy was catching everything. And I didn't think he was that good, to be honest with you. So he completely blew me away.
He had double the amount of touchdowns as he did drops.
Easy.
Yeah. Like that, that when I saw that stat today, I was like, wow. He, like, same, mind you, again, I completely agree with you. I thought Metcalf was the guy. Wow. Like, he, like, even watching that game last week against the Rams, oh, he was sensational.
He was unstoppable.
Him and Nakua were both, you were both like, holy shit. But man, some of the catches he was making, I was like, wow, man. Like, this guy is incredible.
And I was shocked that they weren't double teaming this guy.
No.
You know, he makes up 38% of that offense.
Yeah, he's unstoppable.
Like, he's unstoppable. Why they didn't double team him? Why they didn't just try and break his leg? I don't know. Like, he was literally the only person catching the ball. And he caught it all over them. It was crazy.
I kept saying that he looks like the son of the Blasian guy from 2 Live Crew. But but outside of that, though, he's awesome. Like, honestly, like, he's amazing. Again, for you to have 5 drops, like, throughout the whole season, I mean,
that's crazy.
That's beyond elite. You know what I mean? Not to say, you know, like, I don't know what the I mean, I don't know if that's a standard, but I mean, again, 5 drops is for over 17 games is wow. That's incredible. Especially yeah. especially with all the attention that you get, because you're getting you're basically getting all the attention from the other team. You all the scouting is looking at you when it comes to Darnold throwing the ball. Everybody knows it's going to you. You know what I mean? You're getting the top cornerback. All the schemes is coming to you, and you're still putting up those numbers. I mean,
crazy.
Can't argue with it, man. And honestly, I expect him to have a big game on Sunday too. I do it.
I'm hoping he doesn't, Calvin. I'm really hoping he doesn't.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't, because he's been doing it to everybody. I don't think it's like a guy that can stop him. But we will. I mean, most likely Gonzalez is gonna be going against him, so that's gonna be like made for TV. But yeah. But I expect him to still put up good numbers.
My whole thing is, he's a fantastic wide receiver, but if you take out the quarterback, who's passing the ball? And yeah. That's something that I'll get into a little bit later when we talk about our football predictions for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But yeah, Sam Darnold. I've watched this guy. That's all I got to say right now.
Yep. Yep. You know what? It was 1-1A. I actually picked Matthew Stafford just really? Because I think offensively, I think he's been – because, you know, to your point, like, we were saying how throughout the year, like, defense has been, like, the calling card for the season this year, right? Like, there's been a lot of elite defenses. There wasn't, like, a great offensive team outside of the Rams. But I think Stafford probably had as close to as that incredible offensive season as anybody in this league. I think he probably had the – but stat-wise, he definitely had the best numbers. You know what I mean? So – and I know this is not normally a quarterback award. It's usually reserved. Essentially, this is the MVP for all the other offensive positions, like the skill positions offensively in the league. MVPs is basically for quarterbacks at this point now, but which is turned. I don't know why it's turned into a quarterback award now. It's weird, but offensively, yeah, I would think Stafford will be it because I just felt like he was probably the most. When you look at the stats, 46 TDs, 8 picks. Yeah, man. Like he got close to like, and again, considering where he started off the season with his bad back, being 35, 36 years old, you know, he's got a lot of gray in his beard. Nobody thought, to your point, like he was gonna be. I thought at some point somebody was gonna take him out. Like when you have a back injury, you're playing football, you're old. Like he was contemplating retirement at one point. There's no way you thought he was gonna put up a season like this. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. If he did get the Offensive Player of the Year, I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Like, I understand. I get it.
And he's consistent. Like you know, especially when this is year four, year five, together with Sean McVay, they clearly have a connection. Like, he's mastered that offense. Any skilled wide receiver, he's great with them, from Calvin Johnson all the way down, you know, Cooper Kupp, you know what I mean, in past years. And now you got Nacua, and you got Devontae Adams, and, you know, you got the tight ends on that team too. Like, offensively, he just seems to kind of, out of all the quarterbacks this year, he seems like he mastered the position the best this year. It was just the best way I could say it. So yeah. I
and having and having two Hall of Famers didn't help neither, Calvin.
No, of course not. Of course not. But he's been tough. I'll give him his props for this year.
Yeah.
I will give him his props. But I had JSN as my second, as my 1A, basically, because, again, to your point, like everything you just said, he was amazing this year as well. Who's your MVP? Just say Drake May.
I have to say Drake May, man. I have to draft Drake May. I have to, Calvin. I have to. This guy's a second-year player. He played like 7 games last year. And this year he had statistically one of the best seasons out of all the quarterbacks in the league. The only one that had a better season was him was Stafford.
Yeah.
And realistically, who is this guy passing to?
Good point.
He passing to? His O-line? Last year, his O-line was 32nd in the league. This year, it was 14th, which is huge. It's a huge step forward.
Yeah.
But still, it's not like he had the number one offensive line, which Stafford had. So between that and, you know, the run game has been okay. They start off really, really badly, but then, you know, they got better as the weeks progressed. Aside from that, he was the whole offense. And there wasn't just one focus on the league in terms of the wide receiver. Like, he passed it around. Right. So, I mean, 4-13 team last year, and now they're in the Super Bowl. I have to give it to Drake. If I'm looking at the MVP, the most valuable player in the team, what I always look at is, if I was to take that player off of the team, what would happen to the team? Would the team crumble, or would the team be able to survive? With Matt Stafford, he played amazing. But if he got hurt, I could perfectly see McVay putting somebody in, whoever the quarterback, the backup in, and I think that they would be okay. They wouldn't be probably as good as they finished, but I still think they'd be able to survive. If Drake May gets taken out, it's like the team will revert back to last year's team. I think they would absolutely suck. That's why I have to give them the MVP.
You make a compelling argument, Roger. I'm still going with Stafford.
Okay.
For all the reasons I mentioned just before, but I'm not gonna knock your Drake May pick, and I'm not gonna call you biased. I mean, he's one of the candidates for MVP this year. Yeah. So I can't even sit there and make fun of you with that, because I mean, you're right. Like, he was great this year. He was great.
He reminds me a lot of Brady. Remember those teams where he had no number one wide receiver?
Yep.
It was just a bunch of nobodies.
Yep.
And this guy was just playing out of his mind. That was Drake May this year. He was the best deep thrower in the league.
Yeah. He really was.
Yeah, if you're talking about somebody who's lifted their team, it has to be him.
And that's the thing. He's still under his rookie contract, too. Like, you could still get, a star receiver if you want. I don't even think you have to. But if you want to, you could. Because you don't have to pay him. You don't have to pay May for another 2-3 years. So if you want to do it, this is probably the time to do it.
This is his second year, Calvin.
I know.
This is like Joe Burrow when he first came into the league.
Yeah.
This is like Patrick Mahomes' second year.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys we're talking about are guys that are phenomenal. So, I mean, right now he's in that category. If he wins the Super Bowl, shoot, I don't know what they're going to say about him.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be you're going to definitely be sick of the Patriots if they pull this off. And they're going to be calling May the new Brady, and you know, you'll see him on the cover of magazines and all that stuff.
You're going to hate it. I'm telling you. They're going to hate it, guy. People are going to come after him.
People are hating it now.
They are. They are 100%. They are twisting themselves in knots trying to prove that he's not as good everybody thinks he is.
Yeah, but I can't knock him, man. He's been tough this year. He's been tough. So like, yeah, I can't knock it. But I still go with Stafford, not just because I'm trying to be a hater, but I'm just saying it. Okay, a little bit. But Stafford has been legit. Like he's been that guy this year. But again, I think it's gonna be. We'll see what happens at the end of this week with how that lays out. But Stafford, May, and I forgot who was the third one. That's
Stafford, May. I think those are the top two. But it might be Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah, that's right. So Josh Allen is the third one. But Josh Allen did not, to me, watching him play, he wasn't warranted MVP this year.
He had his moments.
He had his moments, but like honestly, if he would have gotten MVP this year, he would have been like, come on, guys, like what are we doing?
Like, exactly. Like, it would have been disappointing.
Good. Yeah, he was, don't get me wrong, he was good, but he wasn't near the guy he was last year.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? So it wouldn't have been deserved if he got not over those two. You know what I mean? Not over those two guys. So I guess with the Super Bowl predictions before we wrap up, you know, we'll break this down a little bit. But I kind of want to go with my X factors and just kind of because, I mean, to me, this game is going to be really close. I know right now, see, you know, if you have your Vegas odds or your betting odds, they got Seattle looking like they're gonna wrap this up.
4.5.
How much?
That's the spread. The spread's 4.5.
4.5, right? Yeah.
So which is crazy.
Yeah. Which is still having at that, but again, that's why you play the games, man. I mean, but Vegas again. I don't know how they have this down pack, but You can't measure heart, and you know you got to be on the football field. You don't know it's football. You don't know what kind of injuries. You know exactly. What I mean? Somebody might not be completely stretched out from the long Super Bowl halftime performance because that's like an extra. They said it's like I think that
30 break minutes
is like at least 30 minutes, 30-35 minutes, right?
For sure, easily.
It's a long time to like stay warm. You know what I mean? So. I think the Super Bowl is going to come down to a few things. To me personally, I think the X factors, my X factor number one is Sam Darnold.
Okay.
100% because, like, it just seems to me like that Darnold game isn't coming after all. But would it surprise you if this is the game that Darnold game comes, though?
Dalvin, I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. Why do I say that? Because the Patriots defense, they have two guys there, Barrymore and Milton Williams, that are right there on the defensive line, and they are game wreckers. And right now, the Seattle's O-line is ranked 20th. I'm counting on them getting a lot of pressure in the middle. And they're going to throw so many blitzes at this guy. You know, this guy is 1-9 against the Patriots. And that's regardless of whatever team he's on.
He's on.
Yeah. He does not do well under pressure. He had the most turnovers out of all the quarterbacks in the league this year with 14 turnovers.
14. 20 in total if you count the fumbles. The
20 in total fumbles. If you count the fumbles.
If you count the lost fumbles, yeah, 20. 14. 14 picks and 6 lost fumbles.
I think LA, it's a lot.
It's more than one.
I think LA, 100%. I think LA could have beat them if they blitzed them more, but they didn't blitz them.
Yeah.
What I expect New England to do is I expect them to throw all sorts of exotic blitzes to him. He won't know where it's coming from. And then I expect them to either double team the Jigma and then have Gonzalez over on Cooper. Or have Gonzalez following the Jigma around everywhere. And then have Carlson on the other on Cooper.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to man up. They're going to bump him off the line. They're going to try and man him up to kind of throw off the tempo. And I see that as the only way they could possibly win this game.
To me, that's the he's one of the wild cards. He's one of the X factors. Because the last 2 years, and I'll give him his respect, the last 2 years, he solidified his draft status that he had a few years. Because was he like the number one pick overall or like the second overall
pick? He was the second pick.
Yeah. So I mean, for that to kind of pan out the way it has the last couple of years, like kudos to him because he's back-to-back, he had 14-3 records. I mean, you know, you got to give him some credit for that.
So, man, he's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Like he's been solid. So to me, if he doesn't turn over the ball, like Seattle has a great chance of winning if that happens.
You know what I mean? I agree.
Because I think
I agree. If he plays well, I don't think they win. I don't think the Patriots win.
Yeah, yeah. To your point, you're right. Like I feel the same way. And honestly, because I think honestly, defensively, this is going to be a great game, and it's a limitation of mistakes, right? Like if that Darnold game comes. I mean, people are going to be sick of you by Sunday night.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
But
they're going to be angry.
Yeah. But like I said, but if he can control the turnovers, like they got a great shot. Like, I think he's probably one of the biggest X factors in this game. But again, if he has that Darnold game, I don't know if he comes back from that. Cause I mean, think about it. Last year he threw like 9 picks. Or some craziness in the last 2 games of the year with Minnesota. And that's why Minnesota was like, you know what? We're going to go with J.J. McCarthy, regardless of the great season you had.
That's why they dropped him.
I know.
He completely choked in the playoffs, in the first round of the playoffs.
But remember, the finale game, like the regular season finale, he had a terrible game. And then that led into the next week. So it's like, yeah. Even regardless of the great season they had, everybody was like, there he is. There's the Darnold we know. Listen, know what I mean? And that's what they went with.
Yeah. When they even have a meme of this guy sitting on the bench saying he's seen ghosts.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, not to say he's not good, because I still think he's a really good quarterback. But I think if you put pressure on him, I don't know. I'd be surprised, but we'll see.
But
what's your second key?
New England's run game.
I think
New England's run game. I think both the run games are solid. But I think it's more important for Drake May to have a good run game than it is for Darnold to have that. Because I think both the running backs that you guys have with Stevenson and Henderson, they're a great tandem. And I think with Seattle losing Charbonnet in the playoffs, like, not to say Walker can't have the same impact as well, but it's just in this kind of game, which, you know, we're projecting to be a great defensive game, it puts more pressure on Walker to be great than having to share the load, you know what I mean, against those defenses.
He's not a good pass blocking running back.
Right.
Charbonnet was the one who did all the dirty
work. All that, yeah.
Yeah, he was the pass catcher. He was the one that would stay back and block for the blitzes. That's not Kenneth Walker's game.
Right.
So I expect the Patriots to put pressure on him early to see if he could pick up those blitzes, recognize them. And if he doesn't, Darnold's going to get killed.
Yeah. But to your point, though, that's why I feel like I think if New England's run game is really productive in this game, it's especially against that the way Seattle's defense has been, because they've been like, they've been on fuego this whole playoffs, the last month and a half or whatever, 4 to 6 weeks. They've been in fuego. So, excuse me, if anyhow you can have the good run game against those guys, again, it's a great shot for them as well, because it's all ball control, right?
It is. And Drake May needs that. That whole left line is rookies. Jared Wilson, the left guard, is a rookie. And then their left tackle is a rookie as well.
What is up with the Will Campbell guy and his arms? Why is his arm so short?
I don't know. Listen, supposedly his arms needed to be a quarter of an inch longer for him to have the average arm length.
Wow.
For a left angle. Quarter of an inch. Well, everybody makes fun of him saying he has T-Rex arms.
Yeah.
Listen, I think he's played well for a rookie. And considering in the whole playoffs, they've literally been facing the top rushers in the league. I think
it's been tough.
I don't know what people expect. Exactly. Veterans would have difficulty, you know, facing the Texans or facing the Broncos, you know, or even the Chargers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he struggles. What do you expect? He's a flipping rookie. And he's going against the best defensive rushers in the league. They need to have a good game, too. The offensive line needs to have a good game. And if their running game doesn't take off and everything's put on May, then they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. No, I agree. What are some of your points?
Like
who do you got as some of your X factors going into this game?
Well, Darnold definitely is a big one.
Yeah.
The running game, obviously, is a big one as well. I think Gonzalez on Njigma. I think that's a necessity. Njigma is 38% of the offense. So I think if you take him away, I would be okay with anybody else beating us. Just not him.
Yeah.
Also the run game. We have to shut down Seattle's one run game. So far, Patriots in the playoffs have been doing an excellent job stopping the run. I think the opponents are averaging something like 40 or 50 yards a game in terms of running on them. So if they shut down Walker, then that's going to be more pressure on Darnold, that is.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big key. Yeah, they have to shut down the run. If Kenneth Walker starts running all over them, it's over. The game's going to be done. But aside from that, Seattle's O-line. They have a really good tackles. Their left tackle and right tackle is really good.
Yeah.
But the center and the left and right guard are not great. So Patriots definitely have to put pressure on them in the middle and just force Darnold to get off his spot and make him make quick decisions. I think if they do that, I think they have a pretty good chance.
I think the last X factor, which is kind of self-explanatory really and truly, is coaching. Because I think, again, it's going to be a really close game. You know, the one that are scheming the best. And both of them are really good coaches, so I don't really have, like, a dog in the fight when it comes to this one. But, like, Vrabel versus McDonald, I mean, that's – they're both first-timers in the Super Bowl. You know, they I mean, Vrabel's been there as a player, you know what I mean? But obviously not as a coach, not as a leader of men in that way. But, you know, both those guys, I mean, it's going to be tough because I think both those guys are really good and, like
yeah. –
It's going to come down to schemes, like who's going to, you know, like, again, whoever capitalized on those mistakes is going to be the victor. But and really, it's hard to put that on the coaches because a lot of that responsibility is on the players. At a certain stage, like once you get to the Super Bowl, once you've gone through all the pregame stuff and all the hype and everything else, now it's a football game. And at a certain point, it has to be on the players. You know what I mean? So who's the most prepared? You know what I mean? Coming into this week, I expect both those teams to be prepared. Hopefully, you know, keep Stephon Diggs out of the strip clubs. With that said, with that said, honestly, really and truly, though, like it's an X factor, but it's a, you know, it's kind of like a we already know. You know what I mean? Like it's a known X factor because both those coaches are really good. Who's going to get the upper hand? We'll find out Sunday. It's hard to say who's going to be that off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. If you have to look at the two teams, I would definitely say that Seattle's the better team. But when it comes to situational football, I think the Patriots are the best. You know, they will make the adjustments at halftime. They will take away what you do best. They'll make you pay left-handed, and they'll make other guys beat you. And if they beat you, then that's fine. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be a great game, though. I think it's going to be an all-defensive game. I think so. I think Drake May, he needs to avoid the turnovers. If they could avoid the turnovers and the fumbles, limit the big hits that he gets, mm-hmm. I think he's going to air it out. And I think people have basically given up on his ability or haven't realized how good of a passer he is. Because the past three games, he hasn't thrown the ball well.
He hasn't been amazing in the playoffs.
He hasn't. But Calvin, you also got to put it in context, too. He's played the fifth, the second, and the first-ranked defense. And he's played it all in minus 10 weather in a storm, in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Chargers?
Yeah, all three games.
Snowstorm.
You're right.
Tennessee? Snowstorm. Broncos? It didn't start until the third quarter. Snowstorm.
You mean Houston? Houston, not Tennessee.
Houston. Sorry, Houston. Yeah. Texans was a snowstorm.
You're right. Actually, you're right. That's a
good
point.
The Broncos, snowstorm. So I don't know any quarterback that's going to be throwing the ball well when literally they're getting hit with snow in their face. So I expect him to really try and air it out. So we should see some big throws, hopefully, in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is where it's tough, man, because, like, I jokingly say this, but you don't want to see what the Patriots are going to do in terms of winning because, like I said, you got to deal with people like you celebrating, like, you know, like it's so hard.
People like me, Calvin.
The road from the mansion was so tough. To get back on top of Sugar Hill is, like, it's a dream come true. Like, I don't want to hear what the hell you guys got to say. And then, like I said, then on the other end, I got the friggin' Seahawks. I got to watch them win another one in my lifetime before my Niners can get back. Like, secretly, I can't lie. We make it to more championship games or conference finals games. But secretly, I mean, we haven't won a Super Bowl, like, since in, like, what is it, 31 years? So we're like a year before the Cowboys. But the Cowboys take all the heat because, you know, they haven't even made an NFC championship game.
Well, they're America's team. And supposedly they're supposed to win every year. So, yeah, they deserve to take all the fire, guy.
Yeah, let them take. But we laugh because I'm like, secretly, I'm like, we haven't won just as long as they have. But I'm like, I'll take it. Nobody talks about it. It's fine with me. but with that said, yeah, like I said, do I want to see Seattle win a second one in the last, you know, in the last 10, 15 years? Hell to the no. But I expect a really good game. And as a sports fan, more than anything else, that's what I want to see. I have no dog in this fight. So that's what I more want to see. So I guess while we wrap up here, what is your prediction? What is your final prediction? Should I even ask you?
Okay, I predict a score of 17-14 for the Patriots.
Yeah, I honestly, I can't expect you to go against the Patriots. They made it this far. You really can't go against them.
No, and how, and that's the thing.
And there's no need. I feel to, like, really and truly, because they're good.
I feel like they've been disrespected. I feel like everybody's saying, "Oh, it's the easy schedule." And, oh, every game they've played, you know, something bad has happened to one of the players on the team. And, yes, I get that in some cases. But, I mean, they weren't supposed to be here. They're basically a brand new team. You know, the reason why they had the easiest schedule in the league is because they sucked so bad last year. That's the reason.
Yeah.
They don't give the best team in the league the easiest schedule the next year.
That's right.
Right,
it's gonna be way harder next year.
It's gonna be way harder next year. Yeah. So I mean, when you look at the teams that they played some good teams. They just unfortunately they had losing records. You know, look at the Browns. Browns had the best defense in the league. You know, Baltimore is usually amazing. You know, they played some decent teams, but it's just this year's been such a weird year. A lot of the good teams. We're not playing good this year. You know, look at Baltimore. Look at KC. Look at the Bengals. These are all teams that should technically dominate.
Yeah.
But they just had horrible seasons. But their defense, the Patriots' defense, is amazing. And people are counting them out, and they've dominated every playoff team they played. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, it's all about defense. If your defense doesn't play well in the playoffs, you don't have a chance.
Not in football.
Not in football. I don't care how good your offense is. If your defense isn't good, it's not going to happen.
I'm going to end on this note. I'm going to root for the Patriots.
All right, Calvin, come over.
I'm going to root for the Patriots for this one game. I'm going to root for them. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie to you, Raj, I kind of expect Seattle to win. I do expect them to win, but I hope I'm wrong. But I feel like, you know, I've been saying, just for the simple reason that I've been saying pretty much for the last half of the year, that I felt like the NFC rep is going to come from the NFC West. And I'm kind of going all the way with that. Like, Seattle's been, they've been lights out, man. Like,
they've been good.
Yeah, they've been lights out pretty much. I wouldn't say this whole year, but the last half of the year, they were, I mean, I don't know how much games they lost. I think they might have lost like one game in the last 8-9 games or 10 games, something like that. But it just seems like they just seem like they're on this destiny train, man. So, I don't know. I said, I'll be rooting. I don't really have a dog in the fight, but if I have to root, I'm going to root for the Patriots just because, yes, I'm being hella biased. But at the same time, though, I do feel like Seattle's probably going to win. But I want to be wrong.
My enemy is my friend.
Yeah, basically. That's basically what it is. That's basically what it is. It's like an episode of Power where Tommy and Ghost team up with Kanan to go after Andre. That's basically
exactly
where we are right now.
let me tell you, Calvin. If the Patriots lose, nobody will be surprised. Because practically everybody's betting against them.
Yeah.
But you know what? They also bet against them against the Chargers. They bet against them against the Texans. They bet against them during the Broncos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why wouldn't they bet against them now against Seattle?
Yeah, true.
So, hey, it's fine. I like being the underdog. I would rather be the underdog than the top guy. Because I feel like nobody's anticipating that we're going to win. Broncos players are still talking about how they were the better team and they should have won. And these guys are in flipping San Francisco playing an all-star team on the all-star game.
they're at the convention center right now.
Exactly. Still complaining. Still complaining. So go ahead.
So basically, do you think Stidham was able to talk to anybody after the game last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think Stidham did what we knew Stidham was going to do.
It's not his fault. They can't get mad at him for that.
You can't get mad at Stidham. No. They tried to big him up like he was the next coming of Bo Nix. They tried to say that there shouldn't be any drop off between Bo Nix and Stidham. And I was like, come on, guys. Let's not be ridiculous now. Like, I've never been a big fan of Bo Nix, but I've watched him play, and he has his moments. You know, he might suck all game, but then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden he turns it on.
Yeah, he comes alive.
Yeah, it's like he comes alive. I don't necessarily like a quarterback like that because I feel it's too inconsistent.
Yep.
But how can you possibly say that Stidham is better or even equal to Bo Nix? That just made no sense to me. But that's what they do. You know, if you're paying the Patriots, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, their quarterback's not good and they're, you know, they had an easy schedule and this and that. It's every excuse to say why they're not a good team.
Yep.
Hey, it's no different now neither.
Yeah, no, like I said, man, you got a lot of reason to be confident, man. I'll say that much because, again, I know what the spread might be, but I think New England's got a really good shot. You know, regardless of what Vegas says or what most of the public might be saying, I think the Patriots has a really good shot. It's, you know, just if you haven't watched them play throughout the year, just watching them in the playoffs, that defense is man, it's something special, ferocious. Man.
They are.
It's something special.
They're ferocious. I wish they would have played this year throughout the season.
Yeah.
If everybody was there. But I'm not mad now because everybody's back.
Everybody's back.
So let's see what happens.
Yeah, they've been special, and honestly, that's why I'm like, I don't see that being any different. You know, come Sunday.
Same here.
I think they're going to be special defensively as well. That's why I'm like, it's going to be a great game, man. It's whoever's going to be able to limit. You know, it's a cliche shit. Like, you know, limit turnovers, run the ball, ball protection, you know, time of possession, all that shit.
Yep.
But it's all the cliche shit. But really and truly, it's who is going to be able to minimize their mistakes. I know it's cliche, but these defenses are like that. Both of them are like that. So it's like, if you know, that one turnover might be the difference.
So it was against the Broncos.
Yeah, it was.
They didn't get that fumble and that touchdown. That game, it could have been the Broncos in the playoff in the Super Bowl right now, this year. Yeah.
And we'd be talking when about Stidham.
Exactly. God forbid. Yeah, when you get to the Super Bowl and when you start getting to the championship games, it's literally like what separates the teams is just mistakes. Because you have to be good to make it that far.
Yep.
You can't be a shitty team to make it a Super Bowl, because you literally have to play three of the best teams in your conference.
That's it.
So, I mean, people don't realize that. But, yeah, you have to play good teams. And usually the difference between winning and losing is negligible.
Yeah.
You know, look at Josh Allen. Look at the Bills when they went against, was it Seattle? No, when it went, who did the Bills lose to the last time? It was, I don't know why I'm
talking about the playoffs or the regular season?
The playoffs. They got knocked out by...
Oh, it was Denver.
It was Denver. Yes, Denver. Yeah. If Josh Allen didn't make those turnovers, if he didn't have four or five turnovers,
they might be here.
They would have won easily.
Yeah, they might be here right now.
And they still had a chance to win at the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
that Allen turnover to this day, I know we've talked about it before, but that turnover in the before halftime was insane.
I mean, I still don't understand it.
That's what changed the game, to be honest.
It was.
That's what changed the game. And that was a high-scoring game, too. Like, Denver gave up a lot of points.
Gave up a lot of points, 100%.
They gave up a lot of points for such a great defensive team. But, you know, but they made the plays and they caused the turnovers that they had to when the time was right.
That's all the playoffs are.
Yeah.
That's all playoffs are. You know, the Patriots don't have the fastest running back. They don't have the best wide receivers, but they don't make mistakes, and they capitalize on the other team's mistakes.
That's it.
That's basically how they won.
And
they make plays. Drake makes plays when he has to. If it's with his legs or passing the ball, doesn't matter. He still makes plays when he has to make plays.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
we'll see what happens, man.
So
this is why we play the game.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So we'll wrap up here, but thank you as always for doing this, and we're going a little old school today and having this on via call. We're doing this via call right now, but it's all good. We'll be back up on with the visuals and everything. I would say back on definitely for Sunday because we want to keep the annual tradition going of the having the post game Super Bowl episode. I'll know by the end of the week whether it's going to be live stream or not. But either way, there's going to be an episode Monday morning. So regardless of the fact whether it's live stream or not, you will get an episode Monday morning the latest. All right.
That's good.
So, all right. But thank you as always, Raj. Appreciate you, dog.
Problem, man. Always a pleasure, Cal.
Yes, sir. Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the AV Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Mr. Roger Callender for hopping on and talking all things Super Bowl. We're going to have an episode out on Monday, basically our post-game Super Bowl preview. I'm not going to be streaming on it this year, but I will be doing the post-game wrap-up right after the game on Sunday. It'll be out first thing Monday morning. I can't wait for y'all to watch and check it out. With that said, make sure you check out South Shore Ave wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons wherever you listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, wherever you tune in. And also, make sure you go over to the catalog at SouthShoreAve.com for all past episodes. Once again, that is SouthShoreAve.com. I'm going to say it one more time for the emphasis, that is SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, for Roger Callender, this is Cal C. And this is the Av Podcast on South Shore Av Radio. All right, make sure you have a great weekend. Have fun watching the game. Come back Monday. Peace.